You're listening to Podnosis, the pulse of the healthcare industry. I'm your host, Anastasia Gliakovskaya. A growing number of employers are offering fertility benefits. Doing so can help save employees money and attract or retain talent. But despite this hopeful trend for folks growing their families, many LGBTQ individuals still feel ill-equipped to start the journey. A recent survey from fertility benefits platform Care Fertility found that 85% of queer individuals feel confused, anxious, and overwhelmed by the thought of building a family. For Pride Month, I sat down with Carrot's chief product officer, James Wong, to hear about his personal family building story and the unique challenges that queer couples face. We also talk about the role that care navigation plays for this population, especially amid the rapidly evolving legal landscape of reproductive health care in this country. Take a listen. James, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Anastasia. It's a pleasure to be here.
I wanted to just start with a bit of a personal story from you about what brought you to Care Fertility.
This whole topic of family building is near and dear to my heart. And in fact, my husband and I right now are in the midst of our own surrogacy journey. So this is why I'm super excited to be having this conversation today. So ultimately, what sort of led me into healthcare was, unfortunately, when my sister passed away in her 30s, she received an unexpected cancer diagnosis and passed away 9 months later. And that's ultimately what inspired me to apply my engineering and business background from management consulting to healthcare exclusively. I could go on and on about the importance of equal access in family building, given we're in the middle of it, but that's ultimately what led me to Carrot and why I am so personally excited about our mission.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. And I'd just love to know a bit more about what that process has been like for you and your husband.
This started almost 10 years ago when we got engaged. Family has been a complex topic for me. I was homeless at the age of 9 years old. I ended up bouncing through 7 foster homes. Mm-hmm. And so I've been, for my entire life, looking for my definition of family. And so when we got engaged 10 years ago, other than will you marry me, we certainly talked about our mutual commitment to defining and building out our family together. So for many years, we explored the path of adoption, which is made extra complicated given I am from New Zealand at that moment in time. I was not a US citizen, which made just the legalities of a same-sex marriage plus adoption particularly convoluted for us. And it wasn't until sort of 2-3 years ago did we look into gestational surrogacy as the sort of path for family building for us. And I am so happy to celebrate that we are currently 15 weeks pregnant, so still very much in the midst of it. Thank you, but super grateful and blessed to be where we are today.
Mm-hmm. And what brought you to Carrot specifically and to this idea of care navigation and just services needed for families trying to grow their family?
To me, I have always, like many folks who work in healthcare, am just excited about the potential of how what we do could meaningfully change lives. So we know from a survey that we've conducted of over 1,000 American adults aged between 25 and 40 who identify as part of the LGBTQ plus workforce and are open to having a family. Happy to talk through the data, but what we hear from that survey is that this community experiences significant barriers to building a family. There are lots of reasons for that, which I'm happy to talk about as to why navigation is important. Some of it is financial, some of it is educational in nature, but ultimately the opportunity to remove those barriers to building a family for this community and actually communities of all sort of shapes and sizes and people of all walks of life was definitely something that drew me here.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to be clear, since you touched on the legality, like the legal aspects of things like surrogacy or adoption, I just want to clarify what types of services Carrot offers and connects people to.
So Carrot provides all paths towards parenthood support and how people choose to build their family. We truly support our members through their lifelong fertility and hormonal healthcare journeys. And it's inclusive of not only what people who might need in their 20s and 30s in terms of proactive fertility care, but also how we can support them through their pregnancy and return to work phases, as well as how we can support folks in their 40s, 50s, and beyond, where fertility hormones still very much play an important role to healthcare, even if their family building aspirations may be concluded in their life. And so we support members going through fertility preservation, IVF, pre-pregnancy, and postpartum, as well as adoption, surrogacy, and then more recently, menopause and low T.
Okay. So really runs the gamut. And I think for the purposes of the conversation that we're having now, it would be helpful to focus on fertility support. I think it's something that it seems to be growing among employees and employers. There's interest in additional benefits. And you're seeing companies like Progyny and InsureMedics they're coming on the scene. I'm curious if that's reflective of the sort of trends that you guys are seeing.
We are definitely seeing more demand for inclusive fertility and family building benefits. And we can see why. There are real pain points to be addressed around barriers to care, which I alluded to briefly. And what's building excitement in this space is that this community tells us that they are so excited about seeking care in these places. Yet, sadly, 85% of respondents in this survey report feeling stressed, anxious, depressed, lacking confidence, confused, or frustrated, or just frankly overwhelmed with this journey. And so employers see this as an opportunity to solve these challenges that their workforces are facing.
That's a huge number. I just want to just focus on that for a second. 85% of LGBTQ folks that you surveyed are not exactly happy or confident in this process. And do you have any additional insights into what some of those reasons are?
The sort of barriers that this community faces really spans a pretty broad range of things. We briefly touched on lack of money or financial resources as one topic. So 82% of respondents mention that the lack of money and financial resources as the biggest barrier and are having to delay their journeys, especially given adoption and in particular gestational surrogacy journeys being particularly expensive for folks to pursue. There's another whole topic around understanding the resources and options available for LGBTQ folks to build their families.
Yeah.
So it's particularly complicated depending on whether you are a single intending parent, whether there are two cis female folks in a particular journey, whether it's two cis males, as in the case of me and my husband. What are the options for people in building out their journeys, given their resources, apparitions, and shape of their family? Carrot's navigation helps guide members through all of those considerations.
And I want to talk about that in terms of the partners that you select, the folks that you work with, whether it's a clinic or an adoption agency, or maybe even attorneys. How do you look for someone that has a track record of being inclusive?
It's going to depend a little bit on the nature of the provider type. And so maybe I can give you a few examples to illustrate how we vet and establish a quality network. So in the case of, let's say, an agency, there are lots of agencies out there, but what we really look for is a track record of serving, being in this business for a certain number of years and serving a certain number of journeys where they have indicated and demonstrated a history of supporting LGBTQ members on these journeys. The way that we do that is through screening questionnaires on what are considerations that are specific to LGBTQ plus journeys that they need to demonstrate some level of competence in. And we vet these providers every single year. Another example, given the importance of finances for what we just talked about, we make sure that all escrows have certain licensed attorney staff and that all have bar association oversight and that have certain bonds and insurances that ensures that members are not at risk when their precious funds are tied up with these escrows.
Okay, interesting. And in terms of the training that your staff receive and also the services that they're providing. I'm just curious how you think about that internal competence.
So we have both LGBTQ folks themselves who have direct experience across the full range of expert types that we have. So everything from our fertility nurses and REIs and doctors through to OB-GYNs who support in pregnancy, postpartum, parenting, as well as our emotional support specialists. So there are certainly enough folks who are part of the community operating in all of those care expert roles. But beyond that, we invest heavily in ensuring that every single member of our staff, regardless of whether they are part of the LGBTQ community or not, are trained in basic competencies. So everything around use of inclusive language, everything around celebrating and acknowledging that families can take all shapes and sizes, every single one of these things helps ensure that every member, regardless of who they're speaking to, feels like their experience is inclusive.
What about peer support or community support? I'm wondering how important that is to folks that are going through a fertility journey with Carrot and what sort of platform they might have to bounce ideas off each other, just support one another.
We recently, last year, introduced a concept of group sessions, which effectively seeks to provide that community experience where you have other folks who are on a similar part of the journey with you for that camaraderie, ensuring that you don't feel alone in these journeys, which can often be the experience. Now, it's important to us that every single one of these group sessions is facilitated by a trained Carrot expert. We believe that there is a fine line between forming that community and ensuring that only validated advice is shared in those communities. So that's how we strike that balance. But we ensure that there's good anonymity and there's good sort of cross-member participation, but always under the care and supervision of a trained expert.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. I want to talk a bit more about the emotional aspect of this. You mentioned that you have emotional support experts as part of the journey, and I would imagine that mental health support is really important, in particular for a marginalized community like LGBTQ folks. So I'm wondering, talk a bit more about what the sort of needs are that come up and how you steer people through that.
Gosh, where do I begin? And maybe the best place to begin is to talk through where some of the most emotionally challenging aspects of my husband and I's journey has been, right? So I alluded to at the beginning of our conversation around how we explored adoption, but then ultimately switched paths to a gestational surrogacy journey. At that moment in time, it was certainly an emotionally difficult decision for us to acknowledge and make that jump. Not because there's anything wrong about a gestational surrogacy journey, but it was because it felt like we were experiencing a setback basically in the initial stages of us starting this journey. And so we often see that with members feeling like they have had faced setbacks or had to restart very early on in their journey. So how do we help navigate them through that phase of experiences? There's a whole nother phase of experiences where, as much as people believe that assistive reproductive technology is a bit of a slam dunk, it just really isn't. And so when we faced less than ideal results in our egg retrieval process, which I'm sure many folks have felt like, wait, I went through all of these injections, all of this cost, all of this pain, how come I don't have much to show for it? Well, there are definitely our emotional experts available at that time to help people make sense and understand those feelings that they're facing now. The last example I would use is, as we make decisions through all of these journeys, for example, who is going to be the genetic donor? What attributes are we looking for in an egg donor? What relationship do we seek with our gestational surrogate? All of these things have, frankly, put a strain on our relationship, and we see that be another area where our emotional support experts can provide navigation and support for our members.
Yeah, and you laying out some of those different paths for folks has me thinking about policy, too. And with the recent Alabama ruling, the Supreme Court in Alabama ruling against the family, basically the case had been brought because the family was arguing that mm-hmm. some embryos that had been stored that were accidentally destroyed, that was basically like killing of their embryos. And so the court ruled against IVF in that case. I'm wondering how you are seeing these policies state to state play out and how you're thinking about the future of access to these types of services.
We definitely keenly following the developments that you mentioned in Alabama and across all states. And frankly, even by nature of us, of Carrot supporting members in 130 countries around the world, this dynamic plays out even in at a country level. That definitely has us monitoring and watching keenly. The way that we think about it is that we are always impacting how any of these policy changes could impact access to care for both LGBTQ as well as all of our members as they aspire to build their families. We actually saw a reflection of some of this anxiety in that survey that I alluded to, where almost two-thirds of respondents are explicitly worried that the upcoming elections will negatively impact LGBTQ rights, including gender-affirming care. So Carrot's position is, while it's too early to say what will happen, but our commitment to our members is that regardless of what happens, our goal at Carrot will always be to support our customers, members, and HR leaders in thinking through what the implications are. We showed up when the overturning of Roe v. Wade occurred, where in-flight members had questions and concerns about their access to care. And we showed up in ensuring that folks in Alabama who were mid-journey had the appropriate support and care. So we will always remain deeply committed to our community and ensuring that everybody has access to the care that they deserve.
Well, just to pick on that Alabama example, I'm curious what type of support you guys were able to offer during this time. Listeners might know that in the wake of the ruling in Alabama, several IVF clinics had shut down amidst lingering questions about the legality of operating, and that has since been restored somewhat by legislature. But I'm curious what you could have, like what you were able to do in the moment.
The first thing that we seek to do in any situation where there is uncertainty like this is meet with each member to understand where they are in their journey and therefore what the immediate next steps are. I think it's too difficult to keep on top of all of the moving changes with legislation. So we should really focus on where are you in your journey? If you have cryopreserved your materials and waiting for a transfer, that looks very different in terms of next steps. If you are someone who is actively on day 7 of your medication regimen and a clock has already started in terms of your treatment protocol. So we proactively reached out to members who we knew were on journeys because we saw that as part of their Carrot plan and offered to understand where they are in their journey. So depending on where they are in their journey, we could recommend next steps. And so next steps could look like staying put and watching whether their clinic reopens because they had the luxury of time. For other people, it might have meant transportation of materials, at least for the brief window where people were still able to ship embryos outside of the state that had a brief hiatus, and helping those members find new clinics who were able to step up and bridge any care gaps. So really understanding the situation and then helping our members find the right next steps for them was really the focus.
And I'm wondering if there are any other forces at play that you anticipate might affect just LGBTQ people's access to fertility care going forward outside of policies. It might be the introduction of a new technology that might enable another path to potentially to fertility, or just other things that you might be excited about.
So there are two things I would call out. So the first is, we alluded to before, both employers and health plans stepping up. And I really want to acknowledge that we are seeing more and more employers and health plans bolster and change policies around eligibility that ensures that members of the LGBTQ community can access fertility care. And in terms of other developments in the space, we see that, and this is not for clarity specific to just our LGBTQ members, but we see almost 60% of our members be open to interventions other than IVF that are significantly lower cost and less invasive on their bodies as other forms of family building. So whether that's lifestyle modifications, whether that is supervised at home insemination, we certainly see all of these options that a lower cost and more accessible to folks at home also benefit members of the LGBTQ plus community.
I love that you brought that up, because that's something we've been following at Fierce and covering more and more, is these kind of in-between options before you get to something like IVF that can help a significant portion of folks that they might not otherwise get directed to.
The key will be in what you said at the beginning of the call, which is navigation. So what I mean by this is, you are absolutely spot on, Anastasia. And I think the key will be, how do you determine whether that is the right path for you, or whether by going down that path, you have spent 1 to 2 years and then potentially lost precious oocytes or other things that, that your biological clock may have been ticking on. So by no means am I intending to fearmonger, but rather call out the importance of navigation to understand what is the opportunity cost and is that path right for you? And this is why expert care navigation is so important to this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's a perfect spot for us to end. Thanks so much, James. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time, Anastasia.
Thank you for listening to Podnosis. You can find out more about this topic in our show notes at fiercehealthcare.com. Look for podcasts. And don't forget to tune in every Wednesday morning to Podnosis, where healthcare is our beat.